You sisters know that my skin has been glowing lately, and I'm here to tell you my secret, Oak Essentials. You've heard us talk about their line of luxurious products before, and we're so excited to have them as a sponsor of OK Sister Podcast, because now you can join in on the glowy goodness.
You know Oak Essentials is legit because it was created by none other than our favorite brand ever, Jenny Kane. Oak Essentials is known for its simple approach to self-care with a lineup of foundational skincare staples made with high-quality ingredients that drive results. It aims to unlock healthy, glowing skin with decadent and hydrating ingredients that give you a luxe, dewy glow.
I won't shut up about the Moisture Rich Balm. It's a nutrient-rich balm that supports collagen production and delivers serious hydration for a luminous glow. And a luminous glow indeed. The way my skin feels like butter after applying this balm. This balm will make you never want to wear makeup again. And you can apply generously during your night routine to lock in moisture as you dream. It's the definition of beauty sleep.
Treat yourself or someone else this season. You sisters will get 15% off and a free organic honey-based restorative mask with their first order. Oh my God, what a deal. When you use code OKSIS15 at checkout. That's right. 15% off plus a gift with your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com. Promo code OKSIS15, OKAYSIS15.
Go ahead and treat yourself. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to OK Sister. I'm Gabrielle Scout, Editor-in-Chief of Review.
And I'm Maddie Mayo, co-founder of Camber. And yes, we are sisters in real life.
Whether you are here for the sisterly banter, mindset shifts, or that familial feeling of coming home,
OK Sister Podcast is here to help you show up more for yourself.
Welcome.
We love you.
And let's go.
When people come to me and say, you know, my post isn't getting any engagement, I'm like, well, what were they supposed to do with it? Like, what was the intention behind it? Like, is there something in it that is innately engaging? Is there something that, you know, is there a conversation that you're sparking? Are you making it clear that that's what you want, right? So again, it comes back down to kind of like, how can we take action to spark the reaction that we desire?
Welcome back to OK Sister. My name is Mads.
My name is Scout.
Did I just sound like James Charles?
Okay, I mean, we've been saying this forever that
we need to get him on the pod.
Like, we should get him on the pod. That was like a running trope for us back in like 2019 that we needed to get James Charles on the pod.
But that like really sounded like James Charles, and I apologize to everyone. Or you're welcome. What's your name?
What's my name?
Yeah, you didn't say your name, sorry.
Yes, I did. I said I'm Scout.
Oh, welcome to OK Sister. I feel like Alex Cooper.
Yeah, we are actually in studio. We're in these big comfy chairs.
We are at You and Me Studios.
Yeah, and it's
the new home of OK Sister.
The new home of OK Sister. And let me tell you, I have been so excited to be in studio, and it feels just as good as I thought that it would feel.
I mean, I feel like we're Nick Viall, Alex Cooper. Yeah. We're at that level.
Yeah, we're at that level.
The toast.
Yeah, that's what people put us in the same bucket as those people. 100%. Okay, let's go through our current fixations before we introduce the lovely guest that we have on today.
Okay, my current fixation. So we are lip balm girlies. I feel like I have had a whole journey with the lip balms. I was a glossierbottom.com, which I still am. Original recipe. Formula, sorry. You can't really eat them. It's not the recipe. And then we love the summer Fridays. I like the brown brown sugar butter one or something like that, because there's a little tint in there. And then I've loved the Rode one. I got that strawberry glaze that they had sent me. And then my next one, which I just thought there can't be any others that are good. Like, I used to only do glossierbottom.com, and I just keep finding such amazing ones. The next one that everyone needs to get is the Nude Sticks.
Oh.
Yes. And
we love Nude Sticks.
I know. Taylor has been on the pod. You should go listen to that episode. I should have remembered the the flavor, something vanilla.
Which do you want me to look it up real quick?
You'd think that I wouldn't like vanilla, but it tastes like a cookie vanilla situation.
I love vanilla.
And my lips look very kissable. They're pouty and they are glossy. Let me tell you.
Oh, so it's more of like a gloss situation?
It's a gloss bomb lip plump color situation.
Okay, sisters. All this actual one with the name of the flavor is going to be in the show notes.
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to get up to get it, but fantastic.
Oh, like, okay, cool.
It just, and you smell, people, when you put it on, people are like, oh, what's that smell? Because it's cookies. It's not cookies. It's vanilla.
It's vanilla. Okay, got it.
It's something.
Got it. Okay, I'm going to add that to my list, 100%. Okay, so my current fixation is Notion, which you have been screaming from the mountaintops
for years. Welcome to the club. We're Notion girlies over here.
It's like, I don't even want to use Google Drive anymore. I don't want to use Google Docs.
I don't want to use Google.
I don't want to use any other CRM system. I feel as if I've created this whole Notion universe for myself.
The thing is, there's a learning curve to Notion.
There's a learning curve, but
once it unlocks... You can't go back.
No.
You can't do anything without Notion. It's a security blanket.
It's an aesthetic security blanket.
It is
an aesthetic organizer. I have...
The people at Notion are doing it right.
Yeah, because it's like you can kind of... It's customizable, so you can code your flows kind of. You can create your organizational structures. You can add emojis. You can add colors. The type's right. The colors are right. Everything is so perfect. It's like a blank canvas where you can't make... a wrong decision.
Totally.
I have everything from my life.
You know what I'm
going
to recommend to you?
Huh?
Notion TikTok. This is like
porn. Yeah.
This is porn. Okay?
Oh, I'm going deep in that.
You just watch people in hyperspeed create Notion boards. It is porn.
Okay, I'm going to get that.
I'll send you some and then your whole algorithm is just going to be Notion.
Is it on Instagram or is it just on TikTok?
It might be on Reels. I don't really like consume Reels, but I'll get you on Notion TikTok and okay. Yeah.
Oh, it's not an account.
Oh, no. It's just, they are creators that literally their whole feeds are making Notions.
Wow.
Aesthetic Notions.
Wow. TikTok is like Reddit brought to life.
I wonder, there's probably a Pinterest also, where it's just like aesthetic Notions. I could spend hours.
Yeah.
I could spend hours. They're doing something so right over there.
Okay.
We need to get the CEO of Notion up in here.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you know, Mads and I have obviously, now you guys know, relaunched OK Sister Podcast. And we went through the whole relaunch. We do our guest stuff. We do our inspo. We do our copy. We do all of our planning in Notion. We have a shared workspace. And it is bringing me life. Like, it makes me excited for work, I feel like. Like, I get excited to create a new Notion page.
Oh, well. Yeah.
100%. Okay, sisters, we have such a value-packed episode for you. We have Xanthi from O Sierra. She explains who she is, but essentially she's a content expert. She's a coach.
Totally.
She's a strategist. She understands the social landscape to a T, but it's not just the strategy that she brings to the table. She brings the mindset. She brings the intention, and she allows you to take this big world, which is, I know, has felt overwhelming to so many of us, and distill it down to a place that feels good.
And approachable, and like you can continue to show up. And she is just a well of information, but yeah, in a way that feels so accessible. And
like when she was talking, my eyes were getting wide because
I thought you were gonna say your eyes were twitching.
No, because she speaks, you'll hear on the episode, she speaks quickly and is so articulate and jam packs information.
I know. I was going like this, like,
yeah, me too. I was like ninjaing around the content.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, oh. And I was just like, oh, another. Remember when you said when we were trying to combat anxiety thoughts and you saw it like a video game. And you're like, ooh, punch that over there. That's how I was when I was taking in the information. I was like, consume that, ingest that. Like,
I like it. You're gamifying.
I was gamifying Xanthi.
Yes, and Plushie is the cutest name ever. So yeah, we really wanted to have this episode because we think that the social media landscape is changing. We know how important it is. So many of you have businesses. You're content creators. You're aspiring content creators. And we want to make social feel good again. And
yes,
this was the episode that is allowing social to feel good again.
Make social. Okay. That
I
should
know,
not
we
be
can't
the title.
Do that because that's a little Trumpian.
But wow, I've never heard it say like that. Yeah. Trumpian. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys get what we're trying to say.
Sure. Okay. Minus the Trumpian vibes. Make social good again. Do I look like I'm sinking into this chair?
No, but in our photo shoot earlier, you did.
I know. We got to share some of these photos. We did a whole new photo shoot.
We tried so hard. We tried like, so hard to
we
be
We always try so we hard try. To be aesthetic girlies. Talk about, you know what I'm getting from this episode, which we talk about is like, if it doesn't feel good to you,
don't do
release
it.
And let go. Oh. Let go and let God.
Yes.
Okay. And being an aesthetic photography girly like J.C. Marie Smith, God, I wish I could show up like J.C. Marie Smith and look like an aesthetic girly. I'm not. Yeah. I just ain't.
I hear you. Oh, okay. So I just want to do a little recap real quick because that reminds me. We talk on this episode about why potentially we've overused cringe and how it's allowed us at times to feel inauthentic. We've talked about doubling down on one content platform versus spreading yourself too thin. We talked about the strategies of stories.
And Instagram stories.
Instagram stories and how to show up in Instagram stories.
And why it's important.
Why it's important.
Long captions versus short captions. All the things.
How to add value and what that tactically looks like. We got really into the details. So sister, we hope you love Xanthi from O Sierra and we love you.
So Scout wants to get a tattoo that says save it for the pod.
Excuse me, I'm pretty sure that was your idea back in the day. It's a joke. It's like a joke.
It's
thing.
A choogie joke.
It's a
choogie joke. Save it for the pod.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Well, Xanthi said I'm going to get curated tattooed to me, so we could start with that. We have to do some sort of tattoo for the podcast.
Xanthi, you are our creative genius. What would you get tattooed on our body to commemorate
as someone this, who listens,
6 years of this podcast?
As someone who listens to this podcast religiously.
Like, honestly, if I was going to do it, I'd go like something low key that people wouldn't recognize. Like maybe like the number 6 or something like that. That's like
6 years.
You know what I mean? It's six
no,
years.
No, but one day it'll like be 7 years.
No, of course. But it's like it means something because it's like.
Because this is the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So like a symbol that other people won't get. You know what I know? Like, that's right. The
other day you called us OS. Which first I was like.
I say that all the time about you guys. Like I write it.
Oh, wait.
We're like the so OS maybe, update. Maybe. We're like the OSI update.
It's also my brand's like initials is OS. So I feel like I just. Like,
oh, Sierra.
All three yes, get all OS. Get OS.
Fuck.
Okay, when you sent that to me, I was like, what is OS? And then I
do
computed.
It for everything. Every brand name, like my clients' businesses, I'll just abbreviate it.
But
easier.
Camber exactly. C?
Camber is just Camber.
Or
is
it CA, I guess.
CA with the app?
No, just C.
Or just Camber. Like no vowels.
Ew, you just become like a tech company, one of those annoying tech companies, like
a DJ.
Okay, so we get to talk about how you are here and sitting here. First of all,
Xanthi
is what's your title when you say that your business
you?
Is O Sierra? What's
oh
your
my
title?
God, the title thing is a tough one. Not to get super existential with it, but I honestly feel like within the entrepreneurial space, we get like very obsessed with like what am I? Who am
totally.
I? What's my title? So I mean, I'm the co-founder of O Sierra, which is ultimately a brand that does stuff, which I could get super detailed into. But myself personally, in this like current season of life, like I am a content coach, a marketing strategist. Basically, that would be the easiest way to summarize it.
That is a great elevator pitch.
I was gonna say I need to work. I need to work on my elevator.
I said
pitch.
A brand that does things.
Yeah,
so
no,
I'm feeling it.
It was a brand that does stuff.
Sorry.
Oh, Sierra, a brand that does stuff.
Honestly, I think that's your commercial. I think that's your new commercial. So. You started showing up in my DMs for a couple months before I was like, I should look at this girl's profile. You were posting OKSIS podcast every week, but the way you were posting, and Mads and I were talking about it on the way up here because we want to talk about how you ended up here because I think this is something that
sisters
could really learn from because you played a long game. You played a networking game and you played a value game.
And it might not have even been conscious, but
you should do this with every brand or, you know, content platform that you love. I feel like you nailed it. So you kept showing up in my DMs because every Monday you would listen to this podcast and you would post it on your stories. But you didn't just take a screenshot and then posted it. You did a beautiful like background B-roll of you on your walk and then you included it in like one of your biggest takeaways. And so I wanted to repost those because they were beautiful on my Instagram story feed. So I started reposting and reposting and reposting. And then I was like, I should look at who this girl is. So I looked at your Instagram and it was in a season of life for me last year where
I was feeling super out of alignment with Instagram and social media. I was feeling like we were creating for the sake of creating. The algorithm was getting crazy. The output was getting insane, but all of us were screaming inside saying we can't handle anymore. And so I felt as if there was like this mass commodification of social content that wasn't feeling true. Everyone was getting famous. It was weird. But I would look at your content and it made me feel wholesome. It made me feel re-inspired. It made me feel like social is a place where we get to communicate beautifully and intentionally with underlying strategy that will actually push your brand forward. And I felt as if there was no one really talking about social media like you. And so I started to consume your content and be an avid consumer of the stuff that you posted. And I just felt as if you were like the breath of fresh air that I was looking for in social media. And so we then asked you to come on OK Sis, this OK Sister, it's now OK Sister, what, like 6 months ago? And you never even followed up or pushed about it. And I wanted to wait until we could really do it in person. And I just feel like the whole way, like you gave so much value back to us, you promoted us, et cetera. And then you provide so much value on your Instagram. It was a no-brainer for Mads and I to be like, we need her on the podcast.
That's there, so nice.
Yeah, was there a question in there? Was,
no,
okay.
I'm highlighting.
Savor that.
No, I appreciate that so
and
much.
And that's something we were talking about on the way here, and something that even in our own journeys as wanting to work with brands or wanting to even be on a podcast that we want to be on, if you tag a brand or show up consistently actually consuming or actually using that brand, you get noticed. And it's not something where people think, oh, let me tag this brand once and then maybe they'll reach out and we can do a partnership. No, like actually develop and show the brand the type of content you could be, like the examples that you could be posting, and they will take notice after quite some time.
Totally. And the way that I look at it is like, it's like the relationship angle. And then it's also kind of like, for lack of a better word, the authenticity angle, where it's like, I'm genuinely using this. It's genuinely helping me. Here's why. And I think that the thing that's so interesting about social is that there is very much this like, the world owes me something energy, right? Which I know you guys just talked about in a recent pod, but like, it's this idea that like, if I put something out, I will get something in return. If I post something, someone will buy something from me. If I use this brand, they will want to partner with me. And it's like this tit for tat energy that just like doesn't get you anywhere, to be honest. Like maybe you do see that immediate return, but it's never going to be, again, like you said, a long game. It's never going to be a relationship, because you are leading with expectation. And this is a big, big thing that I talk about with like my clients within my community, is stop leading with expectation. Like, give for the sake of giving, show up for the sake of showing up. Like, it has to have a greater purpose outside of just, well, if I do this, I'll get this. Right.
Yeah.
And as soon as we release that, even with what you were saying about kind of that, like it feeling like this hamster wheel energy of like, all I can do is produce and produce, or I feel like I have to produce and produce, we kind of lose the plot on the quality. We lose the plot on the long game. We lose the plot on the relationships. And if we just show up and say, I'm giving something to my community, or I'm giving something to these people that I want to partner with, or I'm giving something to myself just by being here. I know you've talked about that. Like, your vlogs are kind of like a way of encapsulating like a memory.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing it for a purpose that's not just, if I...
Okay, sisters, let's talk about hair shedding. Does the craziness of everyday life leave you stressed and shedding? Since having kids, have you started seeing a little more of your scalp? Hi, I've been there. When it comes to thinning hair, there are many root causes at play, and Nutrafol addresses them through a multi-targeted whole body approach.
Ugh, thinning hair just isn't the vibe. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Amen.
Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth just doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow through different stages, such as postpartum, like me. After I gave birth, I noticed that around the crown of my head, my hair was shedding. I've been taking Nutrafol for almost 3 months at this point, and I am not kidding you when my husband, my friends, my family have been commenting on how long, strong, and healthy my hair has been looking lately. I mean, sisters, if you've been watching OK Sister on YouTube, you've seen my hair.
While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol women's hair growth supplement for 6 months. I mean, 86% is a lot of women.
Take their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS.
Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS.
Ever since having a baby, I've been extremely conscious about what I spend my money on and which products I use. And clothing is no different. I want my wardrobe to be sustainable, good quality, and timeless.
You have to be talking about Whimsy and Row, right? Whimsy and Row is an LA-grown, eco-conscious brand born out of the love for cute, comfy, and classic styles. Every piece is made by women for women. Quality goods, local production, natural and organic fabrics. Yes, please give me all the linens.
Just like OK Sister, Whimsy and Row is based on the idea that women are multidimensional. There's a balance of flirty feminine and minimal masculine in all of our wardrobes, and Whimsy and Row means exactly that. From special occasions to everyday effortless styles, their clothing is meant to mix and match and wear on repeat. I have been wearing their Kira pant in black linen probably 3 times a week. Sisters, if you've been listening to this podcast or following me on Instagram, you know that Whimsy and Row's Kira pant in black linen is a sisterhood staple at this point.
Founder Rachel Temko created the brand back in 2014 because she wanted to create an approachable and inclusive brand that cared for the people and the planet first. Get the full Whimsy experience IRL at their Venice location or shop online at whimsyandrow.com. Their store in Venice is so cute, I can attest. And if you're in LA, I highly recommend stopping by. They are always putting on these amazing community events.
They just launched their spring summer collection and we will be living in it all summer long.
Visit their website, whimsyandrow.com. That's WHIMSYANDROW.com and use code OKSISTER for 15% off.
I do this, I get this.
Yeah. But how do you detach then? Because I, especially with Camber, I fall into this where we have a brand deal and I'm posting something and maybe it flops. And that is a direct correlation to whether this brand is going to work again with me. So there is that, you know, pressure that is there when it's directly correlated to your revenue, to your income. So how do you kind of detach from that, but also make sure that you're honoring the brand?
I mean, it is complex when you're getting into the content creation piece and like you're actually being commissioned to put work out there. Right. But I honestly feel like it's a bigger conversation on the brand side of like one post means nothing.
Totally.
It's the trust that you have, right? Like for me, for example, like I have a partnership with Wild House Paper and I've made very like
love
small,
them.
I know.
Have you been to their store in San Luis Obispo?
No, never the store, but they did like a dinner.
Yes, it was just I saw amazing. That.
Like they're just like they do community so right for a brand.
Yeah.
But we've only actually posted, you know, a few pieces of content, but first of all, it's consistent. Like we've been kind of within their community. So we posted multiple times, mm-hmm. right? So my community has now started associating me with that brand. Now I see people just organically buying it, being like, I saw Xanthi use the monthly planner. Right. So I did. I hosted a retreat and we've had the monthly planner come there. So then all the people who attended started using like that product. And it's like, it's that like full integration mm-hmm. approach that I think is really like, that should be the future of brand partnerships so that we don't have to put so much pressure on a single piece
one
of
post.
Content.
And it's so
Because how can you possibly predict, right? No. Like, and that's like a whole other conversation with regards to the algorithm is like, we cannot predict. Mm. We can only create what feels good to us, what's going to be impactful to our people. And to try and say like, if I do this, I'm going to get this every single time. It's not going to work, right?
Mm. I love that you did a whole post maybe last week about what's in our control and what's not in our control.
Yes.
So for any of the sisters listening who are feeling overwhelmed with that mindset piece or that transaction, or they feel like certain things aren't getting traction, can you go over a couple of the things that we can control and the things that we can't control when it comes to social?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, ultimately, everything that we can control comes from inside of us, right? It comes from our own behavior. And we put a lot of trust in this, like, algorithm. It's like this big brother energy, right? Of, like, if I post it at this specific time or I include this specific word, like, I will get this amount of exposure or whatever. And basically, that's the only thing we can't control, mm-hmm. right? Is what happens in the, like, tech ether. What we can control is the quality of the content we put out, the effort and energy that we put into the relationships we're building. So are we actually going out and messaging people and being proactive with the way that we're connecting, right? Are we forging aligned collaborations within our industry so that we can have, you know, conversations like this where there's a cross-promotion element and we know that we have, you know, share similar audiences and we're going to be able to benefit from that together? Are we able to control the energy in the way that we actually like engage with the app? So who are you consuming? How often? When are you scrolling? Are you allowing it to become a negative in your life, or are you using it to be something positive in your life? Like, it's all comes from the action that we take is what we can control. And of course the reaction too, right? Like, how do we actually respond to the things that happen to us, or sorry, I shouldn't even say happen to us, the things that happen with our content, right? So like, if it doesn't get X amount of views, or if it does get a negative comment, like, what are we gonna do about that? You know? So we can't control what happens in the external, but then at the same time, like, I'm gonna contradict myself a little bit, because we also, I think, have this misconception that there is this like power that be that says my content performs well or it doesn't. But we also are in control of the quality of that content and how much it connects with our audience. And what is reach if not a reaction? What is a like if not a reaction? And we are working on with like human response, right? We're working with like other individuals who are seeing our content. So when people come to me and say, you know, my post isn't getting any engagement, I'm like, well, what were they supposed to do with it? Like, what was the intention behind it? Like, is there something in it that is innately engaging? Is there something that, you know, is there a conversation that you're sparking? Are you making it clear that that's what you want, right? So again, it comes back down to kind of like, how can we take action to spark the reaction that we desire?
Okay, that's so good. And then two things there. One, I was thinking about what my own personal metric for success is when it comes to engagement, because with Review, my editorial site, I am just doing a mood board right now until I launch it. And my success is not the reach, but how many people saved or shared it to their stories. Mm-hmm. Like, I find that that means that my content really creatively spoke to them, that they want to share the chair that I shared, or the house that I shared, or the collage that I shared. That feels like such a active participation, even if the reach is lower. But if the shares were higher, I think it's a home run versus just like getting a lot of reach and not a lot of actual engagement or movement from the site, because a lot of reach is the algorithm. Sharing is the human interaction.
You're nailing it. You're absolutely nailing it. And that's exactly right. I look at like, the way I describe it is like, some metrics have a meaning, where some are simply metrics. And that's right. Reach is just out of our control, honestly, like at the end of the day. Of course, like if people engage with our posts in other ways, there is a higher likelihood that it will become exposed to more people. Like, that is kind of the science behind it, supposedly, right? But at the same time, like, we can see a post that does incredibly well within our own community, tons of comments, tons of shares, tons of saves, and maybe it doesn't get a ton of reach. And at the end of the day, who cares? I've seen the opposite be true too, right? Like, you can have a post that does like crazy, crazy reach, but the comments are like zero.
Right.
I have a client that's had a post reach millions, and like literally there's maybe like four comments. So that says to me, like, what's the meaning behind it? Nothing, right?
I have someone on the inside on TikTok, and I called her up and I was like, girl, you're my girl. You're my, you know, plug. And she was telling me the inside scoop to TikTok, and she said likes are don't even look at them. Mm-hmm. It takes 1 second for someone to like and move on. Totally. That is not indicative of them actually engaging with your content. So likes, it should not be a metric you even like consider. What you should be considering, and she said this exact, is comments, saves, shares, and watch time.
Yeah.
Were they engaged? When did they fall off? Why did they fall off?
Oh, you can see all that in TikTok?
Of course, of course.
It's the coolest.
So yeah, you can see, she was like, look exactly when they fall off.
They and like all fall off at second two.
I know, wow.
You get a million views, but they all fell off on second two.
Well, but she was like, look at the inflection in your voice. What are you looking like? Exactly, what is what are you showing on the screen? And if there's a consistent pattern there, like, how do you shift that? But the saves and the shares, I mean, we've always been for that with Camber, and I've seen that also as like the highest indicator of our engagement. Mm-hmm. When we post memes, people sharing it to their stories, when they save it, you want something that people are like, oh my God, I need to send this to my friend right now. They need to see this.
Yeah. And that's where it's really cool when you think about this concept of like relationships and the role that they play within social. Because let's say TikTok is such a great example, right? It's like, you may have a post that blows up, millions of people see it, and they all follow you based on just that post, right? Whereas if you are sharing posts from an account to a friend, you probably do it a few times if you follow that person, right? Because you're just like in it. And it's almost like you are recommending that person to a friend. And then that trust is there. So, you know, for example, if I share your content, my people are, I know they're going to like it because we have something in common, right? And then they trust my recommendation. So they know that if they follow you, there's some alignment there, yeah. right? Because they already like my content, I like your content, it's cyclical. But if someone just falls upon me at random or on you at random, and they just decide to follow you based on one thing that they saw, there's no kind of guarantee that that alignment is long-term. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And so what we're really looking for is like building communities. It's like this quality over quantity thing applies to every single aspect. Like if you have 500 followers, but they all came to you from an aligned referral.
It's they're the gonna do so
and much they all buy from you.
They will like, buy from
it's
you.
Exactly. What is it? The 1,000 fans.
You need 1,000 fans yeah. to really whatever. Make it big.
And I was okay. So I'm glad you brought up community and quality over quantity because one of the things that you've said that have always stuck with me is if I have a inbox full of DMs that I literally don't have time to respond to, then I'm doing something wrong. Not doing something wrong, but. I need to focus on that community rather than trying to attract more.
Oh, that's a good audience. Point. Some people think, oh, I just got too big.
Exactly. Yeah. So, honestly, I mean, I got too much heart, but there was a time where Camber, I was so overwhelmed with the amount of responses, people DMing us, comments. Like, I should be better at responding to comments, but I get so overwhelmed with the quantity or because I'm trying to combat burnout. I don't want to be spending all my time just like engaging on comments and all these things. But what you said was so interesting where wait, like the people who are responding to you, who are taking the time to DM you to comment, like those are the people you need to pay attention to. And I totally forgot about that notion. And it was even something that we built OK Sis on where, I mean, Caitlin Bristow even said this when she first started her podcast. She said, I was so happy to even have 100 people listening. I would like talk to them every day. I don't even care. But it's like 100 people. That's amazing. And I'm going to engage with them. So we forget because we see these inflated numbers and we don't understand that 100, 500 people that are super engaged is unbelievable.
Yeah,
like imagine just looking out at 500 people someone that have commented that. Something
someone
to you
said that it was like someone
look at like a stadium
like
or something.
Got like the amount that a stadium yeah. got or whatever and she was complaining or realizing that she wanted more and more and then she's like wait a minute a whole stadium filled liked my photo or follow me or whatever the metric was totally. And we do forget because those numbers get inflated especially I think podcasting is so difficult to understand that human reaction because we don't see, hear, or get much direct feedback from the app because it is like, if you didn't post, I literally wouldn't know. I had some girl come up to me when I was in Santa Monica and flag me down and say that our podcast changed her life.
Yeah.
And that we helped her get through a really hard time in her life. I was like, have you ever DM'd me? She's like, no. I was like, I have no idea who you are. This is crazy to me. Where on social, it's so amazing because you do have that ability, but we take it for granted. And then we say that's the thing that like gets dropped on our to-do list when it comes to content creation.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a big part of it is like priorities, energy management. Like these are all things that I talk about a lot with regards to social that I feel like are just like not really addressed where it's like they think or folks think that like social media is like one task. Like it's like I did my social media for the day.
Yeah.
And it's like within social media, there's production, there's relationships, there's ideation, there's strategy. Like, and all those things require like really different energies from our brains, right? They require us to like show up in a really different way. And there's going to be different things like especially like think about like your cycle, you know what I mean? Like if you're cycle syncing your life, right? Which like I'm all about. We are, as people who menstruate, we are going to want to be social and be like responding to tons of comments and filming ourselves talking to camera for like 12 days of the month, maybe, right? The rest of the month, maybe it's like more of the strategy stuff, more of that grounding, more of that admin. And this goes through like, you can do it on a, you know, monthly basis, you can do it on a daily basis, but regardless, like they're all very different tasks. And I think what often happens is we like over obsess over the production alone of just like, I need to just create content, output content, create content, output content. Yeah. And I think it's also kind of natural and normal that we would get sucked into just like one of those energies because it's like easier to just replicate something when you're always thinking about that one thing.
I'm like only in production. I don't, cause I
told her to get an assistant. I was like, you need a fucking
like,
assistant.
I was up at fucking 6 a.m. editing. And then also I filmed a TikTok before this and then she I have to edit it and I have to do that. Like
it's crazy.
I looked at your TikTok the other day and I felt exhausted for you because because I know you do this by yourself.
Sure.
And I'm like, posting this much,
yeah.
Like you need an assistant.
Oh, thank you.
How do you like plan it?
She does the whole thing by herself. It's insanity.
I gather this, which
and
is
her
wild.
Day in the lives. I mean, it's like what, yeah. like 20 pieces of video content a week?
Yeah, it's too much.
But the thing is, too, like to be devil's advocate in a sense, it's like when you're in it, like it feels really natural. Like you are, like I am in that same mindset where it's like to me to film, to think about that, like it's second nature at this point.
Yeah.
Where it becomes a challenge is to actually look at like the landscape of your week and all the other types of things that you need to do and figure out like where is there, what's falling behind, right? Like you said, like, am I responding to my comments? And then it's like, if that's the case, and kind of just to reference what you were saying earlier, it's like, take that second to be like, what if I just stopped producing for a week and caught up on all these relationships and commented back with all these folks and just like even took a minute to see what's going on the app, to consume it? Because that's like a whole other part of the strategy that, again, gets lost a lot of the time.
Oh, I don't consume. I can't scroll. I can't scroll because I get too much anxiety.
Totally. And I think as well, like within that, it's like, the way that I consume content is extremely intentional. Like I'm not going to be lurking TikTok while I'm standing in line at the bank. Like that would like make my nervous system freak the fuck out. So for me, I'm like Saturday morning with my coffee, I'm going to look at TikTok. Like I have to like prepare myself for it. And I think that like with any task, I think it's like so critical for us to like look at how am I arriving here, right?
Yeah.
If I'm already stressed or if I'm trying to get a distraction from my day and I'm going to open up my phone and scroll, it's going to be fucking stressful. Or if you're trying to create content and you're like, let me just see what else is out there before I put this out there, it's going to completely cloud your creativity. So it's like, how can we separate all these different things that are happening within our like ecosystem of social media and have a day for comments or an hour for comments or, you know, whatever that looks like, a production time or a scrolling time.
It's so tricky because, and I've tried to kind of figure out a schedule that works in terms of batching versus editing versus this, because a lot of things that I post are in real time, especially the like things to do video, like that has to be filmed, edited and posted on the same day. Yep. So it's like that can't really be batched. I know the rest can. Also, I'm like waiting on brand approvals from a lot of these things.
Yep. I think there's just like a lot you can offload and delegate so that it doesn't feel so overwhelming. Because like your highest value is showing your face and doing the forward facing stuff.
I know like even this morning I like filmed too. And then Scout was like, imagine if right now you just sent it off to your assistant and they edited and posted it for you and you didn't have to think about it. And I was like,
because that stuff is not worth your time.
It's not worth
my time. Not worth her time because she's going to burn out and we need to keep her face speaking to the camera.
That's right.
We need to keep the face.
Where like you are most valuable.
Sisters, my goal these days is to always look put together when I leave the house. Nothing over the top or super dressed up or anything like that. I just want to look put together and feel good about what I'm wearing in an effortless yet refined way. When I look at my closet every single morning and think about what I can wear that is chic and intentional, I usually end up grabbing one of my Jenni Kayne sweaters, and I always end up loving the way I look and the way I feel in them.
You all know, sisters, that when I envision my highest self, I am wearing Jenni Kayne. Their sweaters are the quintessential must-have item. I cannot stop wearing my Marina set. I throw it on and immediately feel like I'm in a Nancy Meyers movie, like I could just walk on the beach in Santa Barbara. It is the coastal grandma aesthetic.
My favorite Jenni Kayne sweater right now is their everyday sweater in taupe. This is the definition of a staple that every woman must have in their wardrobe. Sisters, trust me on this one. I wear it with leggings, oversized jeans, and a little kitten heel or a silk maxi skirt. Legit, Mads and I are so obsessed with wearing our Jenni Kayne sweaters that we've literally shown up both wearing the same sweater once, the white alpaca cocoon crew neck, which is this deliciously oversized sweater.
Yeah, that moment takes the cake. Both of us walking in with our matching Jenni Kayne sweaters.
We're obsessed, can't take them off, wearing them every day. The type of staples that save your outfit.
That is what I love about their entire collection. It is truly the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless designs. So you can curate a wardrobe that never goes out of style.
Find your new uniform at JenniKayne.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code OKSIS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, JenniKayne.com, promo code OKSIS. OKAYSIS.
Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Cool. Yeah.
That's that. Okay, so I have a question. So obviously, Maddie's business with Camber is different. I had this huge, massive realization. It shook my world. I will tell the story very quickly. I was going through a rough week last year with something in my business that I promoted on social that didn't get the response, but was tied to like monetary gains that really got a very low response in comparison to my usual responses and comparison to the community that I have, which I understand happens, but it shook me for other reasons. And then that day I went to Idaho for a wedding, and it was in Sun Valley, and it was this gorgeous, gorgeous resort. And the taxi cab driver was telling, or the Uber driver, right? He could have been, no, I think it was taxi cab, was telling me
irrelevant.
That. What?
Irrelevant.
Well, it was just an interesting thing that I said. Taxi Judge, and not relevance. Uber. Sorry. He told me that eight commercial flights fly into Sun Valley every single day. Eight commercial flights. Not that many. 25 to 50 private jets fly into Sun Valley a day. This is coined like billionaire city. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around and I'm like, I don't know you on Instagram. I don't know you on TikTok. I don't know you. And I don't know you. And I don't know you. But what I do know is that you flew here private and you're staying on a very nice vacation with your family and you're fucking loaded and having a good time. And it just dawned on me, for me specifically, and I really feel like this is something we need to talk about, the output and percentage of prioritization that I put on social was skewed towards my goal and my business model and what was actually moving the needle for me in my business. Mm. And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, Camber is different. It's tied to the content. But I think so many of us are entrepreneurs and have digital brands and show up and provide content. But I think that we can get so easily caught up in that's the primary focus versus the business being the primary focus. And I noticed, I was like, I could dial back social 60% every week and still grow my business the same amount, still have the same reputation, still have the same network, and still have the same community. And for me and my business model, is like more people need to actually ask themselves, do I have a business model or do I have the goals that requires this level of content creation and this level of output?
I mean, I think about this with LinkedIn. Like when I see, which look, it's hard because I know it's relationships. I know it's networking, but there was a point when in the beginning of building Camber, I was part of this like, you know, female founders group or whatever. And they were like, post on Twitter, post on LinkedIn, all your updates, all be a thought leader, build in public, da, 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 da. And I'm sorry, it takes away from building. When I see a founder to like make a whole post on LinkedIn, I'm like, that just took you an hour and a half that you could have been building
on a sales call or hiring someone.
So maybe they've built their business to a way where they can outsource certain things and that's what they want to show up as. I just think that happens a little later. Like I think about like the founder of Morning Brew, how, you know, he built Morning Brew and then now he's a podcaster, a LinkedIn influencer, whatever, you know, he's a thought leader.
Which, by the way, those people land more because they built something already.
Exactly. They have shit to say. Like, yeah. I remember when I was building, I was like, what do I have to say right now? I have nothing to show.
And it's distracting you from building. It's okay, so how do we
what's the question here?
You know, like, we all don't need to be content creators.
Yeah. Well, I think what's happening, right, is that there is, people are spending way more time than they need to on their social media strategy, and they're spending their time in the wrong places. And I see this all the time where it's like someone will tell me, I spend 3 hours on social and nothing is happening. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Like, where is that time going? And it comes down to like, basically, yeah, leaking energy in arenas that you just really don't need to be in, whether that means thinking that you need to produce every single type of video or be on every single platform. Like, that is one of my pet peeves where people are like, okay, like, I'm ready for my strategy. I need to be on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok all tomorrow, and I've never done any of them. It's like, absolutely not. You need to build a core community. You need to really, it's basically like you're starting you almost want to look at starting a social media account. This is if you're starting it from scratch, but really at any point, if you're just like embarking on it in a way that's new, is as if it's like its own business. It's like you need to test the market. You need to see what people are interested in. You need to have dialogue. You need to have feedback. You need to do things that don't scale. It's like one of my favorite little like isms, right? Where it's like you should be messaging every single new follower and being like, why are you here? What do you want? Right? Like
I've lost that. Where yeah, in the beginning,
but sometimes things that work for you in the beginning don't work true. For no, you
and
as
so,
you go on.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's sort of like basically what I'm getting at is like we have to look at every sort of phase of our marketing as like a different it's a different strategy. We're approaching it in a different way. So at the beginning, it's that do things that don't scale, build relationships, create dialogue, create feedback. And once you can get a really clear handle on what your people want, what does get good engagement in one specific space, like build a community in one specific space, you will notice that the time that you were initially spending on it, there's a lot more available to you because you understand it more, right?
So let's give us a time frame that what's a good like a testing time period? Because I think something that I wanted to say is that I think people underestimate how long they should give.
Yeah.
So what's like a good if we're let's say we're starting over, we're like, okay, I'm gonna do Instagram's my thing. How much? And I know it's like people should be posting different times, but like what's a good trial period?
Okay, so I think the key thing, it's not necessarily about an amount of time. It's more so, are you getting the feedback that allows you to make the next decision confidently? And that can take a long time if you're, depending on how quickly your community is growing, basically, right? So you may come into a space and you may have like, you know, 100 followers. And with those 100 followers, you could very quickly know exactly what they want, learn what they like, and kind of exponentially grow that number. Just by way of listening to them and creating more of that. And there's no real like how much time it takes, but instead look at more so like what criteria does it require for you to be able to take that next step. So let's say, for example, you've started a one account. And again, like for me, I was on Instagram for 5 years before I felt 100% ready to go and explore TikTok. And this isn't because I was scared of TikTok. It wasn't because I didn't think it was important for my brand. It was because I did not have time. And I had to be ruthless as where my time was going. And I could see that my Instagram kind of community was growing exponentially over and over again because I knew exactly what they needed. And it made way more sense to me at the time to continue fostering those relationships with every ounce of time that I had. But as I continued to do that, I realized that, like, let's say, for example, I was spending 10 hours a week on my Instagram. And this is like a practice I go through with everyone is like, how much time are you spending right now? Or how much time do you actually have to spend right now? And with that time, kind of just live within it. Like just figure out what you're doing, what you're prioritizing. I always recommend doing like a goals-based capacity planning type of strategy where you know like, okay, these are my specific goals for my platform. I'm only going to do things that get me closer to those goals. And do that for a period of time, right? Until you realize, wait, it doesn't take me 10 hours a week anymore. I have an extra hour. What am I going to do with that extra hour? Okay, I'm going to build a freebie and I'm going to start building my mailing list. And then like once you build up your mailing list, it's like, okay, I've done that now. I'm noticing that, you know, that hour is free. I've built up the mailing list. Maybe I'm going to use it to write the email, right? And this is just like a system that you can do with any platform. You don't have to start with Instagram. You can start with wherever you're comfortable. But once you feel like you are super comfortable creating the content, you no longer second guess, is this going to work? Right? That's like number one, because that is taking up a lot of time, a lot of mental energy, just wondering if it's going to work. Deleting your captions, rewriting your captions, fucking with the editing, all that stuff. Like it should feel completely like I'm good. I know people are going to like this and I can walk away. Like that's like the first indicator to me that says, okay, you know your community really well. You know yourself really well. You feel really confident in your leadership. Now it's time to make you a little bit more uncomfortable in a place that's new to you.
Yeah.
Right?
You mentioned caption. So Xanthi and Scout are part of the long caption gang.
Okay, but I haven't done a long caption.
I'm just
in
saying,
like 8 months.
You're historically a long caption girly.
I am no longer a long caption girly.
At your core, you're a long caption girly because you love to write and you're a writer. So talk to me about the long caption because you are excellent at the long caption. And it can
Was I excellent at the long caption? Because
you are a poet. You are a tortured poet's department.
It comes out on my birthday. Sorry.
Oh my God.
It's a gift.
April 19th?
Yes.
We need to do like a whole situation.
What comes out?
The new Taylor Swift album. Oh, Scott doesn't know anything about Taylor Swift.
Anyways.
But you are the tortured poet.
Maybe I will like this album.
Scout?
Maybe this is the album.
Wait, Scout. It's giving Scout.
Tortured poet's department is giving Scout.
Yeah, but now my right? I have an even higher bar now for this album because she called it that.
Yeah.
So if it's not actual,
it's gonna be emo.
If it's gonna be actual tortured poet vibes,
except
I'm gonna
the
call
song,
the whole
Florida,
thing off.
Exclamation point! Exclamation point!
Florida.
Yeah.
Like actually, Flo Rida.
No, I wish.
Is Flo Rida featured?
No, it was Florence the Machine.
Oh,
yes.
You like Florence the Machine?
Yes.
Side note: do you like Post Malone?
Indifferent.
Okay.
He's growing
for
on
some
me.
Reason, I just
I think
feel.
I think he
talk about tattoos.
He's nice. I think,
he's nice.
I think
he have you met
nice.
Him?
He seems like a nice guy. He seems
I agree.
Like he seems like a nice guy. I think he's cool. I have no.
I don't know why. I just.
About
I just. I get like Post Malone energy from you.
I think he, okay.
He's a little too stoner.
No, he's a little too is the hygiene there? Kind of, you know what I'm like? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but your hygiene.
He has full grills.
I have great hygiene. I wash my clothes and I wash my floors and I clean my house. Thank you.
Okay.
Long caption, short caption?
Long caption. Yep. So anyways, I was just going to say that it can go really wrong or cheesy or it could just feel like you're declaring something or totally. I don't know. It just could go wrong. And I've notoriously never written a long caption. I just like I don't know. Something about it feels cringy to me, at least in my own voice. But then there was one time I did write a long caption.
I was gonna say, it got so much commentary.
Huh?
Didn't it get a lot of engagement?
So the one time I wrote a long caption talking about Camber and I was at my favorite hotel, Whitewater, and I was explaining just like what this place meant to me and you commented and you were like, long caption, yes! Like this gives me so much more insight into your brand and why you build this. And I was like, oh, you're right. Like maybe I should be more, but I don't know. Okay, so I guess my question is, how do you get over it feeling just like cringy or like your high school friends are gonna be like, why the fuck are you writing a novel?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing with all of this is we put so much emphasis on looking around and being like, well, they did a long caption. Does that mean I need to do a long caption?
Yeah, that's what
or,
I was thinking.
Or, you know, is there some like secret to why it works that I don't know about?
Yeah.
Right. And a huge part of it, honestly, is what is natural to you? So I cannot shut the fuck up. Like I have to put mine into the character counter every day being like, delete, delete, delete. Like that just comes naturally to me. That's how I communicate. And so my audience has gotten trained to read my captions. They know there's going to be value in there.
Yeah.
They like them. It's great. So it works for me. And that's, at the end of the day, it works for me because it's how I write and it's how my audience is kind of like trained, for lack of a better word, to consume content from me. But a lot of the time, what's interesting is that there are going to be people who sort of serve or support different people who don't like reading long captions.
Yeah.
And so a big part of it is to ask yourself, like, first of all, what's going to feel organic and natural to me? Second of all, what is going to, like, is my audience going to sit down and pay attention? Or are they just like, what is this? Do they prefer to consume video over the caption itself, right? How do they actually consume their content? So we kind of have to learn a little bit about what is going to work for the way our people actually want to, like, sit down and read. But the other thing is that each post, it is a whole, right? And again, I think we put a lot of emphasis on the caption as like, is it long or is it short? But to me, it's, are they getting what they need in total from the whole post? So if you post just like, for example, like, I know this is like, you know, it's a vibe and I love to see it. But if you post just like a photo dump of things that happened to you and there's not a lot of context in the caption, what did the people consuming that get? They got maybe a little bit of inspiration. They got to kind of see what you're up to. But if you in your mind wanted them to kind of receive some kind of greater purpose or value from that, like they didn't get it because you didn't give it to them. Like you didn't make it obvious, right? Mm. Whereas if you were to, for example, post a photo dump and then have a list, we see this all the time, right? A list of what each photo meant to you. Mm-hmm. Or even if the photos themselves were telling a story, like maybe there's like a bit of a plot to it. Then they're getting this like fulsome, whatever it is that you've decided you want them to get. And so that's kind of what you need to look at is like within this post, are they getting what I want them to get? Mm-hmm. And also, are they getting what they need in order to have to give me the reaction that I want to receive?
Yes,
right?
I love that.
Can we talk about cringe real quick? Because I think it just dawned
on me. You
gotta
be cringe.
No, I don't think you do.
Oh,
I think that
I think you do.
No, I think that narrative got a little bit out. It spiraled from us in the sense that there's a difference between feeling cringe and feeling uncomfortable because you're out of your comfort zone and you're putting yourself out there. And I think that saying, oh, well, you got to be cringe is a permission slip to do things that aren't natural to you and aren't authentic and not in alignment. So like I for so long feel so fucking cringe on TikTok. But I do it because you got to be cringe. But no, you actually
but you
just,
don't do it. You
no,
stopped.
No, but when I try, I keep like in my, it takes up, it's like the amount of mental energy it takes up in my head of like, I should be on TikTok, I should be on TikTok. But this is the point, is that I feel cringe on TikTok, and that's an indication that that's not authentic to me. Like, long captions feel cringe to you because they're not authentic to you. That's not how your brain works on Instagram. And so I think that there's, like, sure, a level of like cringe being outside of your comfort zone, but we don't just have to do things and feel cringe about it. We get to say, that's not how I communicate. That's not how I show up. That strategy doesn't work for me, and be unapologetic about it. I think that some people just start doing things and they're like, yeah, it's cringe, but we all do cringe things. But it's like, maybe we should just do the things that feel good to us.
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, like, the just the language of cringe has been adopted in the sense to say, like, yeah, be uncomfortable, put yourself out there. And honestly, I think it's like, are you being brave? That's the question that I would ask. Like,
that's better.
Do you
like
feel
that.
Like you're being brave because you're pushing past something that you ultimately know that's for kind of like the greater good or your greater goals? And, you know, if I continue to do this, I will kind of work up a tolerance to. And I think honestly, it's a big part of it is around this idea of like, where it does your kind of boundary lie in terms of how vulnerable you want to be online? And sometimes what vulnerable can mean, again, buzzword, but it's like what vulnerable can mean that you are just showing a part of yourself that maybe you don't frequently show. And you do need to be a little bit brave to show that, but you know it's going to help people, or you know it's going to kind of advance your narrative in some way that is meaningful to you, right? But sometimes being vulnerable can be really unsafe. Like, it can put us in a situation where our nervous system is like so out of whack. It can make us feel like we don't want to open our phone for days, right? Like, and that is like, to me, then you've pushed it too far.
Or it could be fake.
Fake for sure, yeah. And like, I think a lot of
not,
times
you're
too.
Just not being yourself because you're hopping on like what everyone tells you you have to do on social. And I found 100%. I found myself in that trap where I like looked at myself and I was like, part of this isn't me and I'm just doing it because this is like the way social is going. And there's a fine balance between keeping up with what the world wants and keeping up with the trends and being like, yeah, but that's not me. And so I'm not going to do that.
Oh my God, 100%. And like, that's the thing, right? Is it's looking at like this spectrum of like what is really true and authentic to you.
Yeah.
In all ways, like in terms of like how vulnerable you want to be, in terms of how creative you want to be, in terms of how off the cuff you want to be versus how curated you want to be versus all these different things, right? And we honestly, what I see is the thing that's lacking the most in the social media space is a sense of identity, right? It's a sense of actually knowing like, I show up like this. And I can literally put blinders on and not look around at anybody else because I know it's for me. And you'll notice, right, if you consume my content, like, yeah, there's long captions, but I'm not posting photo dumps with a quippy little one-liner. That's not me, right? Yeah. Like, you know, and I maybe create like two or three different styles of videos on the regular because it's what I know works. I can do it quickly and it doesn't make me feel like I'm going to freak out and, you know, I put something out there that I'm like, who was that?
It's back to the curated thing that we were talking about. Like, I'm always like, you know, I say I'm curated and you're like, oh, you just got to let go and let loose. And I'm finally at the point where I'm like, that's not me. Like, that doesn't make me feel good about myself. It doesn't make me go home and feel like I'm authentically expressing myself. It makes me feel like I have to be somebody else when in actual reality, I'm curated. Like, that's what it is. I'm very curated. I'm more editorial. I'm high style. And I more resonate with like a fashion influencer than I do a TikTok person. And I've been feeling pulled to go towards a different energy because I just need to like be cringe for a second and open up in a little bit. But in actual return, I like took a long time off social and redid my habits. And I am now unapologetic. Like, this is who I am, even though it goes against maybe some of the higher strategy that people are telling you to do on social.
I want to talk about Instagram stories. Because you are the queen of Instagram stories and you inspire me so much. And I want to show up like you on Instagram stories. And I know you have like a whole course on this and it's brilliant because I think
that is a brilliant
course. It's brilliant because I don't think people forget about Instagram stories. Like, it is so impactful. And I love watching yours and reading through everything. It's the one like collection of stories I actually like stop and read everything.
I'm honored.
And it feels like a story. Like, you're a storyteller, right? And it's amazing. So what are some tips if someone, why should someone show up more on Instagram stories? What are some of your top tips?
Oh my gosh, of course. It's so funny that you say like, oh, you know, people kind of sleep on stories because it's true that people don't really look at stories as like a part of their strategy. And
I love stories. It's my favorite place to
show. I love stories. I mean,
it's the only thing I look at.
I mean,
it's
remember?
The same. It's the only thing I look at too.
Remember Snapchat? Like, we were like,
I don't
we were
scroll.
Killing
it. I swipe.
Same. Yeah, absolutely. And you know why? Because it makes me feel like I'm way more connected to people. Like, I want to know what people are doing right now.
Yep.
Like, and I have like a rotation of some of the like influencers that I look at, and if they don't have stories, I'm like,
what? Like, where are you? Where what's are going you? On?
Yeah. Literally,
what happened?
Are you okay? Yeah.
Are you okay? Yeah. So with that said, it's funny though, because at the same time, it is something where I notice it's a huge block for a lot of people, especially business owners. They're like, what do I do there?
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed
it's hard.
To
how,
because I think it does have a little bit more of that lack of curation that can make people feel really like dysregulated, where they're like, okay, if I'm like posting this now, but then I post something else later, did they make sense together? If the light's weird, is that okay? Because it doesn't fit my brand colors. Like, there's all these questions around it. So with all that, the thing that I love about stories is it is ultimately, it's a playground. It is like our opportunity to pull back the curtain. And with anything, we always get to choose how we do that, right? We always get to have ultimate control over like what people are going to see. But the biggest, I guess, like kind of first tip that I would give when it comes to stories is think about who is watching them first and foremost, not literally who's watching them, how many people, like literally don't worry about that at all, but more so like who is your audience and what happens to you every single day that also happens to them. So you might look through your entire day and think like, okay, well, I go to Pilates. Does my audience go to Pilates? Yes. Okay. Awesome. I'm making myself a lunch at home. Does my audience like to see recipes? Yes. Okay. Awesome. And you can kind of go through like every motion of your day. So first practice would be just to like, without judgment, go through your day and just ask yourself like, would they do this? Okay, yes. And if the answer is yes, they would do this, it fits in your story. And this is a really good practice, especially for people who are running business accounts, because then that's where you get to start thinking like, okay, what part of my lifestyle gets to be part of the story, so to speak, within my business? And it's all about what is relevant to the people that you actually work with, right? Or the people who you want to work with. So if it's relevant and it feels like, you know, exciting and authentic to you to share it, then it's like fair game. Go for it. Mm. But then there becomes this question of like, okay, well, I'm not just going to randomly post a picture of a candle because they like a candle, and then my lunch because they like a lunch. Like, where is this really going? And so this is where I like to think of this concept of like having like macro plots and micro plots. And it's fun when you think of it as a story, because like it really is, right? You're telling a story. And so a macro plot would be something that's happening to you like over the course of time. So for example, like building Camber would be your macro plot, because it's like a thing that you're doing over time, and there's going to be like progress, but not necessarily every single day. And then there's going to be your micro plots, which is just like a funny little thing that happens to you in the moment. So it's like when I like was grocery shopping for Thanksgiving and I was like, all right, let's go. Like, I've got to go buy some yams, like whatever. That's my micro plot. And I can like narrate a micro plot by way of, you know, photographing it, documenting it, et cetera. And then we can also kind of narrate our macro plots by way of like sharing updates when things are happening and that kind of thing. So first and foremost, it's kind of like recognizing which micro and macro plots are happening to you on a daily or ongoing basis. Are they relevant to your audience? Does your audience like resonate with them for whatever reason? And then you're going to want to think about, okay, how am I going to actually like execute this? Because this is where people get so hung up, is they feel like they have to be like filming, posting, filming, posting, filming, posting. Mm-hmm. Producing and posting at the same time is like the reason why we hate social media. Like, I swear to you, it is the thing that like, it's why we get sucked into these like scroll holes that we don't understand why. It's why we feel so disjointed and awkward when we put something up there. It's why we will post something and immediately get this like cringe of like, ah, should I take it down? Like, what's going on? So rather than doing that, what I recommend doing is document your life as it's happening and document those things that are in relationship to your audience as they are happening. And then set yourself aside at some time throughout the day. Like, I like to have maybe 3 checkpoints throughout the day. And even that's more than you would need. Like, you could probably do it in 2, right? Where you upload all of them at once.
Yeah.
And then you get to control the storyline, because you can't control storyline as it unfolds until you know how it's unfolded, right?
Yeah, until you know the ending. You exactly. want it to feel cohesive.
And there's a level of privacy too, just in case you're absolutely. Out or, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And you get to decide if later.
Someone to know exactly where you are.
Yeah, of course. Like, there's the safety element too, in terms of like the timing and all that. Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, for example, I have a checkpoint at like 9 a.m. So I'll usually document like my whole morning routine. And then by 9 a.m., I can actually say like, here's what I did. Here's why I did it. And that kind of thing. And then, you know, another one after lunch, another one in the evening, whatever it might be. And so you're basically like kind of looking back on your day and you're creating a story out of it. Now, the thing that's really important with this is to also know that there has to be some intention of giving. Again, it's like this idea of like, I'm not just posting this for my sake, like I'm posting it for their sake. So I always like to think about looking at how can we close the loop on this in some way that's relevant to the message that we're sharing with our audience, right? So what lesson did I learn, or what kind of, how can I help my audience just by showing this, right? So, and it can be something so simple, like even for me, I would say if I posted my lunch and like literally like a few, you know, pictures of a salad or whatever, if I posted the recipe to that lunch, I've closed the loop, I've given something back, right? So it's always like you are asking something of them by them looking, by them engaging. So how can you give them something in return, and or even before you ask them for anything? And so it's just thinking like, how could I make this more helpful at the end of the day? So
I think people really have struggle with that value piece. Yeah. And the way you just described it is like taking a photo of the lunch that you made and then providing the recipe. Do you think that there is any room for lifestyle's sake? Because some of the people that I follow don't necessarily give back value in that sense, but the lunch that they made just visually inspires me. Like, I think sometimes people get so caught up on, did I provide value? But what does that even mean? I think it's like less heavy than we say, than we think it is.
Yes, 100%. And I think that when you say that, even just like the word value, I think like needs a rebrand because it's so...
Every word needs a fucking rebrand.
We just need a new alphabet.
We need like a new language.
We need a new language.
Are we ready? Yeah, totally. Yeah, I do think that people get really hung up on value. And also, again, it's looking at like what is inherently valuable. Like to somebody like you who's very aesthetically stimulated, seeing something pretty is valuable. Yeah, and it's all about knowing your people. Like, what do they want, right? It's like, you know, for example, if you know that your audience can see something and they're going to immediately see it and be like, I know what to do with that. You know, for example, outfit inspo is a great one, right? Like, yeah, sure, you want to know where the outfit's from, but at the end of the day, it's just, you just want to see how it was put together and it's going to inspire you to move forward. So that in its own way can be valuable, right? And I think another thing that's inherently valuable without having to be explicit is more so this idea of like, how are you walking the walk? So if you have some like kind of deeper message or deeper like path or goal that you're on and you want your audience to be on that with you, how are you just embodying it in your daily life? And sometimes what we show is more just like an embodiment of it. And we don't necessarily have to do the tell part where we're like, look, I'm doing this because this. Mm. However, where it becomes really important to add that context is if you do plan on selling things in your stories. Mm. So because I run a business, right? I sell products. Many of my clients do as well. Because of that, it's like being able to tee it up before you say like, hey, and buy this thing. You need to be able to show that context. You need to be able to show kind of like how it's actually being applied to your life. You need to be able to give before you ask. Like that's where making it a little bit explicit can really come in handy. But does every single post have to be that? No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I even think it's really great to create a lot of breathing room within your stories. Like I don't expect someone to read text on every single story. Like we need a little palate cleanser, you know?
Yeah, so. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay, this was one of the most...
You are even more knowledgeable than I thought you were, just by reading this content.
Talk about value.
Seriously, like, talk about the word value. This episode is the word value.
Yeah, this was fantastic.
You're amazing.
Yes, thank you so much.
For everything you do. Our last question.
Oh, yes!
That we ask every single person who comes on OK Sister Podcast. You want to do it?
Sure. If you were to brag about one thing, and you cannot be humble, what would you brag about?
Oh my God, I feel like I'm going to cry just being asked that question, having like listened to the podcast for so long. I'm like, I'm ready. I have an answer.
Yay!
Honestly, my drive. Like, I feel like I am the human embodiment of like, when there's a will, there's a way. Like, the most outlandish shit, like moving from Canada to Mexico, moving to the States, getting a US visa, like all these different things that maybe aren't super like business related, but more so like lifestyle related. It's just like, if I decide that something is going to be coming into my life, or I need to have it in my life, or I want to have it in my life, I will find a way to get it there. Like, being on this pod even.
Truly. Beautiful. No, you are like, you need to teach a manifestation course is what the next part.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's a beautiful one. And I find that such a, like, it's like a knowing that you, it's like a confidence. Like, you know that you're going to get what you want out of life. That's really beautiful. I love that answer. Thank you.
Yay,
please let everybody know where they can find you and enroll in your courses and hire you and all the things.
Yes. So I am at OSierra Creative on Instagram and TikTok. Instagram is the best place to connect with me. You could send me an email, xanthi@osierra.ca, but I'm like really heavy in the inbox boundaries.
In the
I'll get back to you when I get back to you, but definitely reach out to me on Instagram. I'm super active there. And yeah, you can find everything that I offer at www.osierra.ca.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you
for having me.
Love you, sisters. Bye.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Tracy Dalgleish, clinical psychologist and couples therapist. If there's one thing I know from both my personal and clinical experience, it's that we are really good at comparing ourselves to others. We tend to get stuck in the unhelpful narratives that play on repeat in our minds, and we struggle to set boundaries and create healthy love. Each week, I bring you clinical knowledge and evidence-based research, experiences of sitting in the therapist chair and being a wife, mother, and business owner to talk about everyday issues we all face to help you change the dialogue in your life. Tune in every Thursday to I'm Not Your Shrink, wherever you listen to podcasts. While I'm not your shrink, I am still human, and I'm excited for us to be in our vulnerability and humanness together.